More aspirants formalized their 2022 bids, but no big names so far on day five of the filing of COCs for national posts. Member groups of Isambayan urge the opposition coalition to pursue unification talks with anti-administration forces. We'll talk to former Bayan Muna Representative Teddy Casino about that. The Philippine Bar Association urges President Duterte to take back his directive, barring cabinet officials from Senate hearings. And Philippine inflation slightly eases in September but remains near three-year highs. Hi, I'm Carmina Constantino. Dateline Philippines begins right now. Thanks for joining us. And for those of you watching us on YouTube and on Facebook, nice to have you with us today. It's been a relatively slow day for the filing of certificates of candidacy for national positions. Our correspondent Inara Formina now joins us live for the latest on day five of the filing of COCs. Ina, go ahead.
Yes, Casey, that is right. Only a handful of aspirants have filed their respective certificates of candidacy and certificates of nomination and acceptance. Up to this hour, Casey, a total of 130, that's 130 aspirants, filed their respective COCs and CONAs for national positions. That includes 22 who filed for president, 7 for vice president, 41 for senator, and 64 party list. Now, for today's filing, KC, we have 2 who filed their COCs for president, both coming from the independent sector. So we have Maria Aurora Marcos, who said that she is not willing to step down and back out should former Senator Ferdinand Bongbong Marcos Jr. decide to run for president. And a second independent candidate, an aspirant, we have Marsden Luyahan. Nobody filed a COC for vice president. We have 2 who filed for senator. Lorenzo Larigadon, attorney Lorenzo Larigadon of KBL, who of course we know for filing the complaint against former Chief Justice Maria Lourdes Sereno, which led to Sereno's ouster. And we also have a second filer, former Sulu Vice Governor, former Congresswoman Nur Ana Lady Ann Sahidula from KPP Party. For party list, KC, we have 12 filers, TGP, Guardians, Philippines Incorporated, Construction Workers Solidarity, Galing sa Puso, Senior Citizens, Barkadahan para sa Bansa, Igorot Warriors Incorporated, ACMA, Angat Edukasyon Pare, Trabaho, Co-op Campi, and Magdalo party list. The filer was accompanied by former Senator Antonio Trillanes IV. They did not give any statement to the media. We know, of course, that Trillanes has just recently said that if Vice President Lenny Robredo will not run for the presidency, then he would file his COC for president. But if Robredo files for the presidency, then he would slide down to a senatorial post. Now, as of yesterday, as of October 4, I have here a collated data of all who filed for the local posts. We have for House of Representatives members, 125 filed their COC. For governor, 53. For vice governor, 34. For Sangguniang Panlalawigan, 363. For mayor, 859. Vice mayor, 761. And for members of the Sangguniang Panlungsod and Bayan, we have 6,464. Now, the receipt of COCs and CONAs from October 1 to 8, of course, is ministerial on the part of the COMELEC Law Department and COMELEC Local Law Offices. They will just receive the COCs that are properly filed and the forms that are all properly filled out. But the substance and the eligibility test will come after the October 8 deadline. So that means that these COCs and CONAs will now be scrutinized to find out if indeed the filers are eligible for the positions that they are running for. And on October 29, that is the target date of the COMELEC to upload the initial list of candidates for Halalan 2022. They will upload that on the official website of the Commission on Elections and post the names of the candidates in various COMELEC local offices where the COCs have been filed by the candidates. Now, just as a final note, KC, the COMELEC gave us the latest data for voter registration for new applications. These include first-time voters, reactivated, delisted voters, transfer of voter records, and etc. So these are the new applications for voter registration as of September 25, 2021. And the figure is at 7.99 million, to be exact, 7,994,821, way above the 4 million target of the commission. That is the latest news that we have from the COMELEC Filing Center here in Pasay City. KC, back to you.
Thanks a lot. Our correspondent Ina Reformina there joining us live from the city of Pasay. Thanks, Ina. Take care and you keep safe. Well, moving on, supporters of the Magdalo Group gather in Pasay City urging Vice President Lenny Robredo to seek the presidency. ABS-CBN correspondent Bianca Dava now joins us with an update. Bianca, go ahead.
Hi, Carmina. On day 5 of the filing of certificates of candidacy for national bets for Halalan 2022, supporters of the Magdalo Group gathered here outside the filing venue at the CCP complex in Pasay City. The group expressed their support for Vice President Lenny Robredo should she seek the highest office. They believe only two people can lead what they call is the true opposition, Robredo and former Senator Antonio Trillanes IV. However, supporters of the Magdalo Group said Trillanes will seek the presidency if Robredo does not declare her own bid by noon of the last day of filing of candidacies on Friday, October 8. They added, if Robredo does file her candidacy for president, Trillanes will settle for Senate run instead. Robredo earlier said she was trying to unite anti-administration forces and has no option but to decide before October 8. In the 2016 presidential elections, Trillanes ran for vice president and lost to Robredo. Carmina, it has been raining here in Pasay City since early this morning, and compared to the previous days, we have seen fewer supporters of candidates gathering here at the CCP complex. Nonetheless, security remains tight here in the area, with policemen still deployed to ensure peace and order. Carmina?
Thanks a lot. Bianca Dava there joining us on the line. Take care, Bianca. Keep safe. Now here's a question. Will she or won't she? Presidential daughter Davao City Mayor Sara Duterte Carpio has yet to personally address reports she could be adopted by her father's party as its standard bearer. See, on Monday, her spokesperson said Duterte Carpio has no intention of running for president under PDP Laban. Sara's brother, Sebastian Duterte, also doubtful the Davao City Mayor will change her mind as she has already filed her certificate of candidacy for re-election.
Once kasi pag may sinabi siya, hindi kasi pumabalik kung ano sinasabi niya. So hindi na inuhul, hindi na pinabago. So that's what I expected from him. So ganun lang talaga.
One political analyst believes Duterte Carpio is more likely to run with former Senator Bongbong Marcos than with the president's longtime aide, Bongo.
Hindi pwede maghalo si Sara at saka si Bong.
Ah, bakit? Magkaaway?
Hindi magkasundo yung dalawang yun. Hell will freeze over before they... I don't know. It could be a miracle. But from what I know is that there is bad blood between the two.
Meanwhile, member organizations of opposition coalition Isambayan urge it to continue efforts to unite anti-administration forces. They also called on Isambayan not to prematurely endorse its candidates. For more on this, we're joined by former Bayan Muna Representative Teddy Casino, a former congressman. Good afternoon to you, and thank you for joining us today. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Carmina. Good afternoon to all the viewers.
All right. Let me go to the statement that you made some 4 days ago. This is what you said. You said, Robredo is a worthy candidate, no doubt, but a unified opposition is equally important. And to do this, all options should still be explored. And then there was this Twitter exchange close to midnight last night, which basically showed some people disappointed over the group's non-position at this point. Can you explain your position to us?
Well, I think the position, it's not my position. It's the position of some of the groups in Sambayan. They feel that the unification process has to be, still has to continue. And because Vice President Lenny has not even filed for candidacy, the situation is fluid. And I agree that talks among the non-administration bets should continue for a unified slate, because that is the best scenario to defeat the administration candidates. So if you're looking at timelines, the candidates actually have until November 15 to slide down either as substitutes, or they can withdraw any time. So hindi pa natatapos ang proseso ng unification, and we feel that Sambayan plays a big part in it as the broker for the talks. And as a broker, you cannot be made to appear as already partisan. But since Sambayan has made its choice, I think these groups are just saying that the unification talks should continue for a unified slate.
But what do you think, former congressman? What does the country need at this point? True opposition or a united opposition?
Everyone agrees that the best case scenario would be one opposition slate, because the administration slate has overwhelming hold over resources, especially government resources. It has control over the military and the police machinery and practically over the COMELEC. So unless the opposition unite themselves, it will be a tough fight to defeat a looming Duterte-Marcos alliance.
Mm. Now, people have been quite skeptical about this united opposition at this point in the process. A lot of people banking on Vice President Lenny Robredo to be that one person to unite it. But as she herself said, you know, it's been challenging. Disheartening, yes. But she continues to hope that there will be a united opposition. But from your end, I want to know, what are you prepared to sacrifice or compromise in the pursuit of this united opposition?
Well, we're prepared to sacrifice everything to have the opposition united. In fact, this position of, you know, we were in the Sambayan process all the way, but this position now has already put us on the sides of the pro-Lenny supporters who think that we're selling her out. But you know, it has to be done. Someone has to tell these candidates, and I'm not just talking about Lenny. I'm talking about Isko and Manny as well. A group has to make them understand that unless they put their act together, masasayang lang ang efforts nila, and that should continue. Even if Sambayan has already made a choice, that effort should still continue, I think.
Yeah, but what about presenting her, the vice president, as the most viable option?
Eventually, we will have to come at that point. Kung talagang wala, hindi talaga magkaisa, we will have to choose. And I hope that time does not come. I hope that eventually they agree to come up with a united slate. But if that time comes, then we will have to choose.
You know, a lot of things happening behind the scenes, and with, you know, accusations like this, as you mentioned, phrases like you selling out the vice president at this point in the game. How does that serve the whole process or this whole pursuit of having a united opposition?
It doesn't, but I think it just shows how difficult the process is. And nobody understands this better than Vice President Robredo. She has been accused by people in her camp of being indecisive, of not wielding the leadership role. On the other hand, I think she understands the necessity of having all options open until the last minute, then that she finally makes a decision. So ganyan talaga and all the supporters of all candidates will definitely be pushing for their own candidates, ano man yung agenda niyan. But at the end of the day, we have to look at the broader picture here and see that this is not your ordinary elections. What we are up against is 6 more years of Dutertismo, 6 more years of this kind of failed leadership. And if the only way to defeat that is to back down, no, and allow others to take the lead, then that should be understood by all members of the non-administration camps.
But can you have this pursuit for a unified opposition as a pursuit that's never ending? I mean, this has to end somewhere, somehow.
Somewhere. In 1986, they had the same problem with Marcos calling for snap elections, and they eventually solved it. But I think they solved it. It was also late in the day. But pambihira ito eh. And we're hoping that it can happen. Otherwise, this will be a plurality vote. At medyo mabigat talaga ang laban for the opposition. But if it comes to that, then we're ready to support whoever will lead the charge.
Whether it's apart from what Isambayan decides on.
Well, we are part of the a number of our organizations are part of the Sambayan process. So, mahirap
naman.
Are you beholden to that process? But at this point, I think the emphasis really is to still continue the unification talks. And kasi pag ganyan, mahirap kasi ang position mo dyan. O mag-usap tayo pero ang condition namin, baba kayo. I mean, unification talks can't proceed that way. It has to be start from an all options open framework. And that's what we're saying. Kasi Sambayan ang nasa position to broker these kinds of talks. But if it will not do so because it has already selected the candidates, then there are some of us who still think baka pwede pang itulak.
And what do you say to those who say that if that was the intention to begin with and that was the vision, then something should have happened by now? And clearly, obviously, it hasn't happened.
Well, you know, in politics, anything is possible at the last minute. And I think these candidates can still, kahit isa lang siguro, kahit dalawa na lang, ganun na lang. Huwag na tayong umasa na isang kandidato lang ang opposition. But out of 3 or 4 candidates who are now claiming to be anti-administration, kahit siguro dalawa umatras, then probably we could say that we already did our part. Pero mahirap yung 4, di ba? So mas ganun ang aming framework dyan.
Bigyan niyo kami ng former congressman, bigyan niyo kami ng inside look into how difficult that process is for Bayan Muna, for example, to be dealing with these, as you yourself said, those who have been claiming as of late that they are anti-administration. How do you get to stomach that? How do you get to set aside your differences and put your focus on the bigger picture here?
By accepting the reality of the political situation. Because we don't want a repeat of the Ocho Derecho debacle. We already saw how limited the pure opposition forces are. We have to expand the base not only to the already people already in the opposition from day one, but to include the newly converted opposition, those who have been disenfranchised, only a year ago, or even those who were disenfranchised yesterday, we should bring them in. Otherwise, we will just end up being in the 2019 election scenario. So the opposition has to realize na hindi pwedeng puro dito. Hindi pwedeng yung opposition lang ng 2016, yun pa rin. Yung bagong lipat na opposition, we should extend the umbrella to them, the tent. Otherwise, we will be fighting a losing electoral battle.
Tell me something, though, because there are some who are still quite conflicted about these statements. We do know that Isambayan has already formally endorsed Vice President Lenny Robredo as the group's standard bearer.
Right.
And yet, you're still espousing for the broadest range possible. Why can't you just put your support behind the Vice President? Say it.
Ang gusto sana namin, isa lang ang kandidato eh. So baka tingin ko meron pang puwang. And we do not want to waste that opportunity. And I think given the political culture, may pwede pang umatras dyan eh. So tingnan natin, di ba? Mahirap naman na hindi natin bibigyan ng pagkakataon ng proseso na sinimulan natin.
Kahit na yung prosesong yon ay nakapagbigay na ng standard bearer para sa grupong kinabibilangan.
Well, look, Carmina, the Vice President has not even filed her certificate of candidacy. And we don't even know if she's running officially. So, alam mo yon, ganun ka-fluid yung sitwasyon. And I think the fluidity of situation requires us to be more flexible in our strategies and tactics. Ganun lang yon. Now, the week from now, the situation might change. You know, the statement was issued last week. But a week from now, when the Vice President has filed her candidacy, baka mag-iba ang sitwasyon. Or 2 weeks from now, baka lumabas na yung isa, umatras pala yung kanyang backer because nakita yung sense. You know, these candidates also have their own supporters, they have their own funders, they have their own backers. And the decisions are not solely the decisions of the candidate. So maraming factors, maraming variables that can still push the non-administration forces to unite between only one or possibly two candidates. Let's see.
All right. You have been espousing for the broadest range possible for the United Opposition. How can this mean that you won't commit the same mistake when you eventually threw your support behind a known human rights violator?
Well, in 2019, we threw our support behind Grace Poe. So that much was clear. But when President Duterte won and he offered the peace process, and he offered 3 cabinet posts to activists, and he said that he would have an independent foreign policy, and he said, you know, promised all these things, it would have been negligence on our part not to engage. And so we did engage. But after 1 year, nung lumabas na wala naman palang kwenta yung kanyang pangako, we broke off. Mm-hmm. And we have been the target of Duterte's tyranny ever since.
And so how would you, as some would say, differentiate yourselves from what they've called as the enablers as well of this administration?
You know, mga enablers, it's so easy to call people enablers because they have been connected at one point. You know, if we're going to go that route, then the Liberal Party would be the biggest enabler of them all because practically the entire party shifted to Duterte after he won. But ang hindi yan ang issue dito. Ang issue dito, ano bang pagkakaisa natin? Si Yorme ba at si Yorme Escoba at si Manny ay katulad ni Rodrigo Duterte? Definitely not. Definitely Robredo is not the same as Duterte. So, you know, tingnan natin. Pwede ba magsama ang mga ito? Pwede ba silang magkaisa? Can we be supportive of just one slate? If that is possible, then by all means, let's try. Hindi nagtatapos ang mga bagay-bagay just because they have filed their certificates of candidacy. History in the past have always shown us that candidates can always withdraw. Candidates can always concede. Candidates can always give their support to the other candidate. And if that can happen for the opposition, that would be a good development.
Mm. Surely, as you continue to hope for a united opposition, you do have certain standards. You do have certain principles that you abide by, not because you're gunning for a united opposition that everything's out the window. So give us a clear sense of what these factors are. Go ahead.
The issues here are one, the killings, the war on drugs. The opposition candidate should be categorical that they will not continue the murderous war on drugs of Duterte. And that would include also the war on drugs has extended now to the war against the so-called terrorists. That's one. Pangalawa, I think the issue of the West Philippine Sea is very important for the opposition. And third, the issue of the failed pandemic response. This includes the Farmaly case. So these are just some of the non-negotiables. I think for us, the peace process is a very important issue. The next candidate should not continue Duterte's all-out war, but should reopen the peace process. So yun yung mga, I think, issues that would differentiate the opposition or the non-administration candidate from the administration candidate. The restoration of the Marcoses, the revision of history involving martial law, I think is also a very key issue for us.
All right, Daddy Casino, former Bayan Muna representative there joining us on the program. Thanks again
Thank you, Carmina, for
joining us today. Take care. Keep safe.
Thank you.
Right, moving now to the senatorial race, former Senator J.B. Ejercito says he got to speak with his half-brother, Jingoy Estrada, as they both eye a comeback in the upper chamber. Ejercito says their meeting last month was the first time they spoke to each other in years. He notes they both decided to run despite the possibility they might lose again, just like in the 2019 midterm polls.
Both of us knew that if we both run, chances are we won't make it, no, to get run at the same time. But somehow, I told them my piece that, you know, I am running because of my desire really to finish I have passed because of the prevailing situation now, because of the problems brought about by the pandemic and COVID crisis. I somehow feel that all the more that the universal healthcare law has to be implemented properly. I feel it's a mission, no? Parang, so it's not anymore the ambition. It's me against my brother, both of us running. I know that it will be a difficult fight for me the second time around.
Meanwhile, 2022 senatorial aspirant and Marawi civic leader Samira Gutok says Duterte's war on drugs could have been his greatest achievement if not for the thousands of alleged extrajudicial killings linked to it.
Achievement, ma'am. Drugs could be, but the deaths, EJ case, are so astoundingly appalling, ma'am. So that, sayang po eh, yes, peace and order in a way. But then the deaths from it are so warranting question and investigation. It was a shortcut process, but it allowed people to say, I mean, mali talaga naman ang droga. But po yung pillars of justice system at sana linakasan, it is a success by fearing, ingraining fear in people. But it's not sustainable.
So you consider the drug war a success in some way?
In some way, not sustainable in a way.
I'll go back to the question. What would you consider as this administration's greatest achievement?
They were clear naman eh. It was a peace and order drug approach, drug war approach, the first 6 months.
Public Works Secretary Mark Villar bids goodbye to his office as he posts a photo of his last day at work. The post on Facebook only had a short caption, with Villar saying he was proud to have been part of the agency, which he headed for 5 years. He gave no explanation for the move, but on Monday, the BDP Laban faction led by Energy Secretary Alfonso Cusi disclosed that Villar is running for senator as part of the administration's slate. Take a break now. Up ahead, President Duterte officially bars cabinet officials from attending Senate hearings. We'll have that story and more when Dateline Philippines returns. Stay with us here on ANC. And we're back here still with Dateline Philippines here on ANC. Here's another look at our headlines this noon. More aspirants formalize their bids, but no big names so far on day five of the filing of COCs for national posts. Member groups of Isambayan urge the opposition coalition to pursue unification talks with anti-administration forces. The Philippine Bar Association urges President Duterte to take back his directive barring cabinet officials from Senate hearings. And Philippine inflation slightly eases in September but remains near 3-year highs. Back with more news, President Rodrigo Duterte signs a memorandum formally barring cabinet officials from attending the Senate's hearings. The president says he will not allow the Senate's Blue Ribbon Committee to disrespect officials as it investigates government's allegedly anomalous pandemic supply deals with formerly pharmaceuticals. Duterte says his cabinet members are too busy attending to the pandemic to bother with the proceedings.
Gordon, you are not God and you cannot play God. No. You cannot continue this hearing till kingdom come. You and the Senate cannot compromise the government's COVID-19 response by getting agency leaders tied up for so long at your beck and calls. Kung may nakita kayong mga crime dyan, maliit o malaki, talhinan ninyo sa korte. Hindi naman kayo, sabi ko nga, hindi naman kayo investigador. You do not pretend to be an investigator with finding so much fault there. It's the ombudsman or the prosecutor, whichever agency it may be filed.
Meanwhile, President Duterte again calls on the Commission on Audit to take back more than 140 million pesos in allegedly misused funds of the Subic Bay Metropolitan Authority. Duterte says the money will be used to buy more COVID-19 vaccines. The president claims former SBMA chairman and now Senate Blue Ribbon Committee chairman Richard Gordon pocketed more than 80 million pesos.
When Gordon runs for any office, my countrymen, remember the 146 million, pati yung 86 million. Inyo yan, sa tao yan. At ibigay natin doon kay Secretary Galvez para ibili niya ng medisina, COVID. Kailangan, marami pa tayong kailangan. There are 110 million Filipinos. Kung maaari lang, bakunahan natin lahat para wala na tayong sakit sa ulo.
The Philippine Bar Association urging President Duterte to take back his directive barring cabinet officials from attending Senate hearings. Mike Navalio now joins us with the details. Mike, go ahead.
Hi, Carmina. A lawyers group has criticized President Rodrigo Duterte's order barring cabinet members from attending the Senate probe into allegedly anomalous multi-billion peso deals for the purchase of pandemic medical supply. The Philippine Bar Association, a group of lawyers established in 1891, said that the president's directive for officials of the executive department to disobey summons issued by the Senate upsets our system of checks and balances and transgresses the doctrine of separation of powers among the three branches of government. It said that the directive is detrimental to the people exacting accountability from officials of the executive department through duly elected representative Ms. Kenneth Blue Ribbon Committee. It said that the ongoing investigation focuses on alleged anomalies in the use of huge amounts of public funds during a pandemic that has cost countless Filipino lives, making the quest of public accountability of vital importance. Duterte and his chief from Malacanang Monday night revealed he has signed a memorandum prohibiting cabinet members from attending the Senate probe, the former deals because they supposedly do not have the time to participate. The president also accused the Senate Blue Ribbon Committee of blatant disrespect of resource persons. Senate probe has so far uncovered that the formerly did not have the financial capacity to supply billions worth of medical supplies and had to resort to borrowing from former presidential economic advisor Michael Yang or asking him to be the guarantor. It also revealed that formerly executives ordered their staff to replace the expiration dates of substandard, dirty, yellowish, and wet face shields. Formerly executive Crizel Mago confirmed this during a Senate hearing, admitted her company swindled the government just before she went incommunicado and resurfaced to recant her testimony while under the protection of the House of Representatives. Now, in its statement, the PBA referenced Duterte's promise not to tolerate a, quote, whiff of corruption in government, saying they agree with the statement, urging the president to let the act fall where it may. It also called undue impairment of legislative prerogatives the president's directive to the armed forces of the Philippines and the Philippine National Police to ignore warrants of arrest issued by the Senate against resource persons it has summoned Marisi to appear. The group appealed to President Duterte, whom it called a brother in the legal profession, to recall the twin directives, which in their view constitute clear violations of the Constitution. They also demand that all politicians not to trifle with the people's Constitution in the game of paper. Carmina?
Thanks a lot. Mike Navalio there joining us on the line. Take care, Mike. Keep safe. Unconstitutional, that's how a Senate Blue Ribbon Committee Chairman Richard Gordon described President Duterte's memorandum. Gordon also vowing to continue the probe despite Duterte's order and former formerly executive Mago's retraction of her earlier testimony that the company swindled the government.
Mr. President, yung inisyu yung memorandum is totally unconstitutional. Nakayang karapatan dyan. You're violating the Constitution. At walang issue ng national security dito, walang executive privilege dito, at walang diplomatic discussions.
San Juan City Mayor Francis Zamora files his certificate of candidacy for re-election in the 2022 polls. ABS-CBN correspondent Vivian Bulla now joins us with the latest. Viv, go ahead.
Hi, Fermina. San Juan Mayor Francis Zamora has officially sought re-election as he filed his certificate of candidacy for the 2022 polls this morning. Should he win, Zamora says public health will remain a priority and all efforts will be exerted in battling COVID-19 towards economic recovery. Zamora cited as part of his accomplishments the COVID vaccination in San Juan, which was the first city to inoculate 70% of its population, the initial target for herd immunity in the country. In 2019, Zamora's victory against Janela Estrada ended the 26-year uninterrupted hold of the Estradas to San Juan's top post. This 2022, it remains to be seen who among the Estrada clan will go up against the incumbent mayor. But Zamora says he is optimistic his service was felt during his first term as mayor. His running mate, Vice Mayor Warren Villa, also filed COC for re-election, along with aspirants for San Juan City Council seats. These include PBA star and two-time MVP James Yap, who said he wants his story to influence the youth and inspire them to get into sports. But Yap says he isn't retiring back his career in basketball just yet. Former PBA players Don Aliado and Paul Arsadi, actor and former basketball player Irvic Bihandre and Maki Matay, are also part of Zamora's lineup for city councilors. Other council aspirants in Zamora's ticket are Angelo Agcawili, Ryan D., Raisa Laurel, Totoy Bernardo, Bea de Guzman, Kit Peralta, and Franco Yam. Before the COC filing, Zamora and his ticket attended a Thanksgiving Mass at Pinaglabanan Church, where several supporters wearing red shirts were waiting. But physical distancing was observed inside the church. At the local COMELEC office, The light rain did not stop supporters from staging a festive welcome for Zamora's team. There were drums playing on the background and supporters carrying posters cheering on. That's despite a previous appeal from the Philippine National Police to avoid fiesta-like COC filing, which could be a potential COVID super spreader. Zamora had also earlier advised supporters to just watch the COC filing via FB Live, but he says some still showed up. Policemen were on site to enforce physical distancing and minimum health protocols like wearing face masks. That's the latest from here. Fermina, back to you.
Thanks a lot, Bib. Take care. Keep safe. Moving on, President Duterte bears his retirement plan. He says once his term ends, he will return to his hometown of Davao City and prepare his defense against the International Criminal Court, or the ICC. This comes just days after he bowed out of the 2022 presidential race, announcing his retirement from politics altogether. The ICC's prosecutor is investigating all of the possible crimes against humanity committed under Duterte's war on drugs. The ICC will also look into the vigilante killings in Davao City when Duterte was its mayor.
It is time to give way to a new set of leaders who hopefully continue the reforms, projects, and programs that this administration has pursued for the past few years. Ayaw nila ako maglaro pa ng politika. Gusto nila umuwi na ako sa Davao at maghintay ako sa maraming dadaan na kaso. Hintayin ko kayo. I will prepare for my defense na yung ICC na yan, pati yung huwag lang kayong magsinungaling. Kung totoo lang, may record naman, huwag kayong mag-imbento na yung namatay ng malaria dyan, pati ita-charge ninyo sa akin. Kalokohan na yan.
COVID-19 cases in the Philippines breached the 2.6 million mark. That's after the health department recorded over 10,000 new infections Monday. The DOH also confirmed 61 new deaths. Health officials have been noting a downward trend in the number of COVID-19 cases in Luzon, given the increased vaccinations. However, hospital utilization rates across the country remain high. The region of Western Visayas seeing a rise in COVID-19 cases. Authorities say infections began to spike about a month ago as the Delta variant became dominant in the region. There's also not enough supply of vaccines for Negros Island.
As of late, on the previous week, ang Negros, hindi siya na isa sa mga priorities ng national, no? So that's why yung mga vaccines na bigay sa kanila are still lacking, no? So isang reason yon. Plus, of course, meron din tayo mga tinatawag na hesitancy stage sa mga tao where we really need to make efforts to convince them. But now, since the vaccines are arriving now in volume, I believe for this month, every LGU, in fact, in the whole Visayas will be given enough vaccine for their job administration.
An update on the weather now. Heavy rainfall is in the forecast over some parts of Luzon as Tropical Depression Lani continues to move northwestward. Let's get the latest now from Pagasa weather forecaster Ariel Rojas. He joins us on the line. Ariel, go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, Carmina. After its 9th and 10th landfall over northern Palawan, the center of Tropical Depression Lani is now over the West Philippine Sea, some 165 kilometers west of Coron, Palawan. It continues to have maximum sustained winds of 45 kilometers per hour near its center, while gusts reach up to 55 kilometers per hour. It is presently moving west-northwestward at a speed of 25 kilometers per hour. We have now lifted all tropical cyclone wind signals However, occasionally gusty conditions will continue to be felt over extreme northern Luzon and over the coastal and upland mountainous areas of Cordillera or of northern Luzon, central Luzon, Calabarzon, Mimaropa, Bicol region, western Visayas, Zamboanga Peninsula, and Bangsamoro. Moderate to heavy rains are still likely over Palawan, while light to moderate with at times heavy rains are also possible over Cordillera, Cagayan Valley, central Luzon, Metro Manila, Calabarzon, Bicol region, western Visayas, and the rest of Mimaropa. The rest of the country will be experiencing cloudy skies with scattered rain showers. Lani is expected to move northwestward towards the east, the western boundary of the Philippine area of responsibility, and will exit our area of monitoring by tomorrow afternoon or evening. Even so, gale warning will be in effect over Batanes, Babuyan, and Ilocos Norte, so small sea crafts are not allowed to venture out in the open seas. Apart from Lani, we are also monitoring a low-pressure area outside of PAR, more than 1,600 kilometers east of Mindanao. For now, our scenarios are this LPA will enter the PAR by Thursday, may develop into a tropical depression by Friday or Saturday, but a landfall scenario right now is less likely. So we continue to enjoin our public to continue monitoring updates, especially from PAGASA, regarding this potential weather disturbance. That's the latest from PAGASA. This is Ariel Rojas. Good afternoon and stay safe.
And you stay safe too, Ariel, to you and the rest of the team there. Thanks for all that you do. Moving on, Philippine inflation slightly eases in September but remains near three-year highs. Our correspondent, Warren De Guzman, now joins us on the line with more details. Warren, go ahead.
Hi, Carmina. Philippine inflation eased to 4.8% in September from 4.9% in August. August's inflation rate was the highest since December 2018, and with September's rate not far from it, it is clear rising prices are still a problem. National statistician Undersecretary Dennis Mapa says a deceleration in transport inflation helped slow headline inflation in September. However, he says inflation still remains elevated, especially for food. Food inflation hit 6.2% in September from 6.5% in August, but that was higher compared to transport inflation, which hit 5.2% for the period from 7.2% in August. September marked the first time food inflation was higher than transport inflation since June 2020. Food items with double-digit inflation in September included meat, fish, and vegetables. Vegetable inflation was higher than meat inflation in September. Both commodities have been hit by supply issues, with vegetable supply adversely affected by poor weather conditions and meat supply, particularly pork, still affected by the African swine fever outbreak. Fish inflation eased in September, but the National Economic and Development Authority says fish supply could be a problem moving forward as the fishing season comes to a close. Social Economic Planning Secretary Carl Chua says to cover the expected supply gap during the upcoming closed fishing season, the government will temporarily allow more imports in the fourth quarter of 2021 and the first quarter of 2022. The government will continue to proactively monitor the supply and demand of these commodities to ensure access to affordable food amid the pandemic. NEDA also says the Department of Agriculture has issued a certificate of necessity to import with a maximum importable volume of 60,000 metric tons of fish, such as galunggong, mackerel, and bonito for wet markets. The September inflation rate of 4.8% was at the bottom end of the Philippine Central Bank forecast range for the month of 4.8 to 5.6%. The central bank says inflation could remain elevated in the near term before decelerating to within the target range of 2 to 4% by the end of the year. The Philippine Central Bank notes all the factors keeping Philippine inflation elevated are transitory or temporary. It notes the continued effects of the COVID-19 pandemic could keep demand low. Looking at inflation relative to major ASEAN economies, the Philippines' inflation remains higher than that of Vietnam and Indonesia, with Malaysia, Thailand, and Singapore yet to report for September. Carmina, back to you.
Thanks a lot, Warren. Take care. Keep safe. Well, Facebook says faulty configuration changes on its routers were the root cause of a nearly six-hour global outage of its platforms. It explains the routers coordinate network traffic between Facebook data centers. The changes disrupted this process. Facebook platforms, including Instagram and WhatsApp, went down around midnight Manila time. They came back online just before 7 this morning. Founder and CEO Mark Zuckerberg has apologized for the disruption. With nowhere to go to air their thoughts, the disruption prompted people to flood Twitter. The microblogging site took advantage of the situation and poked fun at the global outage, tweeting, "Hello, literally everyone." And hello back. And that'll do it for today. Thank you for joining us. I'm Carmina Constantino. If you want to revisit today's episode, Dateline Philippines Podcast is on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Play back this newscast too on ANC's YouTube channel and on ANC 24/7 on Facebook. We'll now be tossing you over to the Senate Blue Ribbon Committee hearing on government's pandemic response. Senator Richard Gordon is talking right now. Keep safe, you guys. Keep it here on the news channel.